And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, we return to the delightful elements of Romans, which is in many ways the backbone of the New Testament following the Gospels. Romans chapter 4, verse 3 states that from God's perspective, Abraham had no basis for pride. This is crucial for all of us to understand. If every breath that we take is a gift from God, then there is nothing we could ever do that would make God owe us anything. God owes nobody anything ever, and this has always been and always will be the case. Wow. Next, verse 4 in Romans in chapter 4 states that when people work, their wages are not a gift. That simply means when you go to work and punch the clock, you're owed. Ultimately, workers earn what they receive, but that is not how the declaration of righteousness works with God. The declaration of righteousness is granted as a gift. Finally, verse 5 reiterates the truth by stating that people are declared righteous because of their faith, not because of their works. This is a declaration of righteousness that God grants to a person when they operate in faith. It is not because the person deserves it. Again, it's because God is pleased with the person's response to God, that they believe God, trust God, count on God, and lean upon the Lord. It is this vehicle of faith that pleases God. And from that pleasure comes his unearned declaration. In other words, we didn't earn it, but it comes his declaration to us, unearned, of righteousness. And you know what you say? You say, thank you, Lord.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Now, here's the thing I want you to remember, especially with us, especially with Jacob and myself and the entire team. Ready? Ready? It's not professional radio. Okay. Not professional radio. It's just radio. Yeah, it's all of it. We're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us right now, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. By the way, if we get a text and there's a question, like we did receive one, I may answer it today, but I will certainly answer it this week, and that is for somebody who's asking a question about a pastor that doesn't really talk much about things. We'll get to that. Additionally, though, you can call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, here it is. When you make that call, and I know it's a telephone, so it can be scary, but when you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
Hello. Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you. So I will have our little confession now. We always have these little confession things about cheat meals and stuff like that. You ready for this one?
I am ready. Was it pizza, tacos?
It was not. It was after we got everything put away. So for those that don't know, we just did a move. It's our first move in 6.5 years. So it was not like, hey, here's a box. Let's move it. So anyhow, as you can kind of figure out. So anyhow, after we were done that and we were driving around the area, we went to this little ice cream shop, right? And I got, now Noelle got, she got a waffle cone with mint chocolate chip ice cream, but she got the chocolate waffle cone. And then I got a, I like the cake cone, and I got that with Butterfinger ice cream. It was umi good.
That's a good choice.
Yeah, umi good. Like, ooh. I mean, we ate it. We were like laughing in the car and smiling. And people probably thought, you know, because we're older, but we're like goofy. And they probably thought these people have lost their minds. And it's like, they must have visited one of those newly released stores or whatever. It's like, no, no, no. We were just happy.
I'm sure after the busy weekend with moving and everything, having ice cream, I'm sure that was the best thing ever.
It was like so nice. And it's like the guys, like we met the guys, like, yeah, we just moved here. He goes, you know, it's funny. He goes, I just met a bunch of people just moved here. He goes, well, welcome. And da da da. It was just so
That's
nice.
Funny. And they were having ice cream too.
Yeah. It's like, what's so weird? Anyway, so that's what it's like talking to Jam and Jacob. If you're not sure how that goes, you say hi. And he says hi. And if you start to tell him your life story, he'll speed you along because we got to move it along during the show. I'm just letting you know that right there. So what are those numbers for? What are those contacts for? I'm just making it super, super, super easy for you, okay? You can text us. You can email us. You can call us up. What for? To share something the Lord is working on in your life, to ask a question, something you're trying to figure out, to share a testimony, a praise report, something the Lord is doing that is just fabulosio in your life, and you just think, man, the redeemed of the let the redeemed of the Lord say so, I want to share. Good. Do it. Share. It blesses people. It blesses you when you share it, and it honors the Lord. Prayer requests, of course, we always pray for people. We love to pray for people. Why? Because we love seeing the answers, and we get a lot more answers than people realize. A lot more. If you prayed 10 times and got 3 answers, then wouldn't you learn to pray 100 times and get 30 answers? Hello? Okay, now just, you know, it's common sense. We'll also do a little bit of history, plus 3 jokes, one of which is eh, but the other two are pretty funny, plus Bible trivia. Here's your Bible trivia question. How many valiant men went to look for Elijah when he was taken up into the air? How many valiant men? Was it 50, 100, or 35 men that went to look for Elijah? Your answer is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15 through 18. So some of you are saying, but that's a lot to look up, and that might be true, but it's a very important portion of Scripture for you to know. If you can't look it up in your Bible and you need to use the internet, that's fine. We just ask people don't cheat by not really doing any research because you'll never remember it that way. The question is, how many valiant men went to look for Elijah after he was taken up in the whirlwind? 50, 100, or 35, your answer is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15 through 18. If you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. I will do our DNA now, because now's a good time to do the DNA. D, that's the DNAs. We consider them the building blocks of our existence as Christians. How do we function? DNA, our building blocks are these. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
I just can't explain this any better than thinking about Superman as Clark Kent. And Clark Kent working at the Daily Planet, where they put out a newspaper every day. So if that means daily, then we should draw closer to the Lord daily. Does that mean, yeah, it has to do with going to church? Well, it can be a part of that. Does it have to do with, you know, hanging out in different fellowship groups? It can be a part of that. But daily with the Lord is you and the closet door closed and just you and God. That's the big part. It's that Jesus went up on the top of the mountain by himself to pray times. And we ought to be doing that daily. Because right relationship develops right ministry. And that's what we want. Everything to be based off of that. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. You have to notice. You can't. It's impossible not to notice that they are trying to shame Christians for believing the Bible and shame Jewish people for believing in the Old Testament and believing there's a God of Israel. They're trying to shame them. Hey, here's the answer. That's your answer. Who cares what they think? They don't have a heaven to put you in. You know, when it says become all things to all men, that's not to the distinguishing elimination of your faith. Oh, I become all things to all men. I'll start stealing with people so I can be one of them. That's not what it means. You stand firm in your faith. You're a witness for God. You're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, aren't you? What ambassador doesn't throw off their responsibility. You are God's billboard to the world. Be the billboard. They don't have to like it. Some people will like it. Some people will hate it. Hey, you know what? Some people like Jesus. Some people hated Jesus. There you go. So be that. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the N of DNA. And then A, the A part, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. Ready. On your marks. Get set. Go. Ready means ready. On God means ready. Right? You have to be alert. You have to be watchful. You have to be keen. You have to be keened in. You have to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. It's drawing closer to the Lord. It's never being ashamed of what the Lord had to say. And it's always being prepared to be used by God in whatever capacity. People say being used by God. I must be going to the mission field, or I must be going to serve the homeless food, or I must be going to build a bridge or build a. You just need to be ready, even if God's just asking you to smile at somebody. Noel and I were walking into a store, and this lady turned to this other lady, and she just said to her, they just met. You could tell that they're introducing themselves, and she goes, "I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you that the Lord bless you." And it's like, wow, isn't that cool? That lady was ready. That's what we're talking about. Always be ready. So, D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready. Okay, now, the trivia question. How many valiant men went to look for Elijah? That's the question. Is it 50, 100, or 35 men that went to look for Elijah, prophets that asked Elisha to let them look? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15 through 18. That is your reference point, 972-445-0770. That's the number to call, 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Into the Word of God we go. Oh, wait. Into the Word of God we wait. No, not because I want to wait, but because somebody's calling in. People are like, what? Wait, I thought we were going in the Word. I know, but somebody's calling in. Take a deep breath. And so we'll see if they want to answer the trivia question. It may be up to them. We'll have to see. It kind of looks that direction. And this is me stalling if you're trying to figure it out. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Don. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Don, how are you doing?
I'm resting. I just got through doing the yard.
Well, that's nice. Did you get everything done you needed to get done in the yard?
Yes, I did now.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, boy.
All right, let me set it up for you, and then you can answer the trivia question. How many valiant men went to look for Elijah? These are the men that they all asked Elisha, hey, we want to send somebody to look. How many was it that went? Was it 50, 100, or 35?
It was 50.
That is correct, Amundosa!
Woo!
It was 50 men. And that story is really fascinating because Elisha told them not to go, and then they pressured him until he was embarrassed. Then he said, fine, go. They took 50. They went to look for him. He wasn't there because he was in heaven. And then they came back and he said, didn't I tell you not to go? Sometimes we let people embarrass us into doing the wrong thing, even if you're a prophet. Wow. Somebody should remember that.
Really?
Right. Isn't that good?
Well, I tell you what, I have enjoyed reading the Old Testament this year. I think it just really has been kind of cool. I don't know. I mean, I have gone through the one-year Bible program for 17 years, but I love the story.
Yeah. I mean, they're very powerful if you get into the deep teach. It's a really important lesson for us to know that these are communicated to us to help us to, in fact, Romans 15:4 says the things written aforetime were for our encouragement. And it's like, yeah, there you go. That's what
our brother. You have a good one.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. What we'll do, because we're running, we're already halfway through the show. Still fast. It's like, I just don't get it. We'll take a short break. Then we'll come back, get into the word. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. And then we're bouncing into the word. I don't know if bouncing is the right thing. Diving into the word. I'm not sure diving
hopping,
is the right
thing. Yep.
Hopping into the word. Pogo sticking into the word.
Running. Jogging.
Big wheeling into the word. Oh, that's a good one. Remember your big wheel? All right, anyway, here's your next trivia question. Now, listen, these are things you have to look up, or you should know these things. They're important for us to know. How many clusters of raisins did Abigail take to King David to appease his anger against her husband? How many clusters of raisins did Abigail take to King David to appease his anger because of the dumb actions of her husband? Was it 200, 2,000, or 10 clusters of raisins? 1 Samuel 25:18. That would be the question. How many clusters of raisins did Abigail? So it's, you got to think of this. Now, it's a girl, right? It's a gal. Okay, I'm not meaning anything weird by that. And she's got like a donkey and a servant. So they're going to bring how many clusters of raisins over to King David? Is it 2,200 or 10? 1 Samuel 25:18, if you think you know the answer. If you think you know the answer, that would be 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email to david@hemusincrease.org. So now, with that set up, we are diving into Romans. And for those that don't know, Romans is so awesome. Let me say it that way. Awesome. So awesome. It's unbelievable. Here's the thing you got to understand about Romans. Romans 1, 2, and 3, primarily identifying everybody as in big trouble. Okay. 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, telling you what the answer is to the big trouble. 9, 10, 11, talking about Israel connected to the big trouble. Then 12, 13, 14, also connecting. And 15, also connecting to the other parts of practicality. See, one of the things that's cool about Scripture, if you really get into it, is that there's always, in Scripture, there's always this practicality section that kind of helps you out so you can understand this is the practical way to deal with the practical approach to this. This is what I want you to do here. And then 16 is kind of like a wrap-up. On personal items and specific things. I mean, there's a lot of important teachings, but you get an understanding of Paul's itinerary and stuff like that. Okay? All right, great. So I'm just giving you that showdown. So here we are. We're in Romans. We're in chapter 4, and we're at verse 3. And what I want you to get is how important this is, because the premise of chapter 4 and 5 have to do with the absolute essentiality of faith. Not kind of faith, not... And let me explain something to you. Somebody that has faith in a moment, well, that's great. But that's not the living faith that Scripture is talking about. It says, when it says, for God so loved the world, let me use the King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, so let's use another translation. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It does not matter what translation you use. The key word is the word believeth, believes, keeps believing. That's the key. Why? Because it's a continual faith. You don't believe in Jesus once. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, I believe that the Tigers were pretty good there in 1968 when they won the World Series. That's great. Your faith in Jesus, your faith in confidence in God, your faith in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and in his engagement with you is an everyday faith. There is no exception to that. When Jesus taught people to pray, he said, pray, our Father who art thou in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Hello? You're talking to God daily because it's daily bread, right? Just like manna, every day, fresh every day. Got it. That's the connection. Here's what's important, that the faith that you have is active. And so what we find out in the scripture is Abraham had no basis at all for pride, for the scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and so God declared him to be righteous. It's super important to understand that how Abraham found this favorability with God was he had faith. He believed. Now, wait. What did he believe? Did he believe the Bible? Abraham didn't have a Bible. I know that's hard for some people to wrap their minds around, but it's true. Remember, the Bible wasn't written yet. Hello? What did he believe, though? The Word of God. What do you mean the Word of God? God spoke, made promises. Abraham believed. He was declared righteous. You know what you're supposed to do? I don't know. You got this Bible. It's called the Word of God. Jesus, by the way, is called the Word of God in John 1:1. You're supposed to believe. Believe what he has to say. Believe his promises. Those are the keys. It's like, okay, got that. No way getting around from that. What God is communicating, though, in verse 3 is that Abraham didn't have a basis for pride because he believed. That's the key. You're thinking, wait, what? Well, see, Abraham believed. And that was really good on Abraham's part. And you believe, and that's really good on your part. But you wouldn't even have a chance to believe if God didn't let you breathe or live. So you don't really get a lot of pride in it. You're not deserved of it because you believe. You made the right decision, though God knew what decision you were going to make, but you made the right, that's why he's omniscient. Knowing everything means knowing everything. But you made the right decision. You believe that pleases God, and he grants you his favorability, but it's not because you're super terrific. God likes me because I do everything right. There is nobody except for Jesus who has ever done anything close. I mean, not even close. It's just so silly. And just in case you're wondering, because I love doing this, is there's a statistical analysis of how many times people sin between their words and their actions and their thoughts, and it roughly comes out to somewhere between 12 to 18, or about 13 or 14 a day, taking in count an age of accountability. If you're using Judea law, from 13 to 80, you've sinned about 295,000 times. And you don't have 295,000 good works, so don't even go there. But because of faith, God grants you a righteousness that he has created for us to receive through Jesus Christ. From the Father, through the Son, and by the Spirit. That's how it's supposed to go. Just read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. And what's superbly important about this is that we recognize even in the faith that we have, which God asks of us to have, there's not pride that goes with it. Because faith is faith in God, in his ability, in his grace, in his power, is his anointing, in his wisdom, in his provision, in his protection, is in his insight, not in us. It's faith in him. If the Lord enables you to do something, and he does, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, if he enables you, awesome sauce. Great, that's fantastic. But without him, nada. And in fact, Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do anything. I just want you to catch the importance that we don't get to sit there and beat our chests and go, me, great person, because me believe. No. Thank you, Lord, for letting me believe. Thank you for even giving me a moment where I can believe. And I will do better to believe you more. Get that? Trivia question. Okay, right? See, you thought I was going to forget, didn't you?
I was ready.
I know. Good job. How many clusters of raisins? Okay, and I want to look at this because the book gives an answer, and then sometimes I read the answer and I think, is that right? I want to make sure. So the reference is in 1 Samuel chapter 25, and that would be verse 18. So 1 Samuel 25:18 says this, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs. So actually, the book gave a wrong answer. See, this is why I do this. See, 10 didn't seem right, 100 seemed right, 200 seemed too many, and 2,000 seemed ridiculous, because how are they going to get 2,000 clusters of raisins? According to my scripture here in 1 Samuel 25:18, it is actually 100 clusters of raisins. So everybody gets it right because the book that I'm using had it wrong. There you go. That's just a benefit for listening to the show. We'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. When confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, "How can I be sure of this?" to Gabriel. "I am Gabriel," the angel answered. "I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news." Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, "How are you going to do this?" when Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear. The angel assured her, "Nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible." Luke 1:37. The disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings. Amazing grace, how sweet. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. You guys have to look this up, or unless you know it. That's a good one right there. In the book of Amos, Old Testament, how many chapters are there? Now you can't. There it is, right there. In the book of Amos, how many chapters are there? That is the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. That's david@hemusincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website because we have to do that at this point, as you know. And so we want to remind people there is a place to put prayer requests up there if you want to do it privately, or praise reports if you want to do it privately, and we can read them for you. You don't have to use your name. It's like it's up to you. You can also, there's on there, there's access to 4,500 hours worth of podcasts, which I don't care what anybody says. That's a lot of podcasts, a lot of hours. Additionally, there are encouragements video-wise, written-wise, article-wise, audio-wise, some old sermons that I preached 35 years ago. They're still funny, or fun, I should say, and some of it funny. Additionally, there's a place to give. We think giving's important because we don't do the ministry without it, because this is what I do 24/7. That's why I moved closer to the station. We're in our sixth year, just doing the best we can here in our humble little abode in Dallas, the Dallas studio. We're also live in San Diego, and then we throw in Denver and Detroit because I lived in Denver and Detroit, and it's fun to do. So anyway, check out the stuff on the website. If you can give, great. Awesome sauce. It's just terrific. Our website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
That's your reward for doing such good work on all the sound things. You get that one.
I know, right? That was good timing.
Perfect. All right, we do have somebody ready to answer the triv. Is that correct, Amundo? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
Gary, I have survived the move. I am still here, and I am alive.
wasn't easy.
It had a lot of graces, and I'm actually going to share a story about the move after we hang up, which is really an incredible, incredible story. So we did have this huge kind of miraculous thing happen. But we had, in regards to like a four-day move, I would say grace upon grace upon grace with the challenges. That's how I'd say it. But we were back yesterday, and I made the drive yesterday, and I made the drive today, and it is so much closer. It's like, yowza. It's such a big difference. It's like I got home, and I actually had extra time when I got home yesterday, and I even made a stop on my way home and still got home sooner than I would have gotten home otherwise. So I was really...
Well, I prayed about it. I prayed about it, that things would go well.
And I appreciate that. They've got that. That is by far the overall best move we've had in I'd say, 25 years. I mean, that's pretty good. And so yeah. And wait till I share this story, and people are going to freak out when I share it, but it's okay. It's just what happened. You can't change any of it. But in the meantime, let's do this. Let's do the triv, and with the trivia question, let's also make sure to pray for you. I want to make sure you're doing well. How are you feeling overall? About the same?
About the same.
Okay. How are the situations? Any different or kind of about the same?
About the same. Things are about the same always.
All right. We got to get some breakthroughs for you. So let's take care of this trivia question, and then we'll go from there. How many chapters are in the Old Testament book of Amos?
I believe there's 9.
That is correct, Amundo, sir! You are right! There is, in fact, 9 chapters, which is actually chapter 7. You get into chapter 7, it gets very, very deep, but excellent job. All right, so I want to pray for you, and I want to ask the Lord to bless you with kind of a fresh start, just like he's given us in the move, just to transfer that over to you. So let's pray it before the Lord. Ready?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and I just thank you for my brother Gary. We ask you, Lord God, that you would grant him favor in his circumstances, in the situations. We're going to get to his health in a minute, but Lord, he's still got stuff all around him and things that need to work out smoother. So, Lord, we're not telling you what to do. We're asking you. You tell us, ask and you will receive. So we ask you, in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would smooth out, simplify for Gary some of the situations he's dealing with. And, Lord, we're asking you to just be that much higher up for the miraculous power that comes from you, from your throne, from the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, from his stripes. We're asking you to touch Gary's body and let that touch alter his life, change it forever. and that he would find life-giving power coming from you, coming from your Holy Spirit, coming from the throne itself, and he would find healing in your name and in your honor. We pray for him, our brother, and we ask you to bless him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'll be praying for all of you, and God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Love you. God bless. All right. All righty. So now, I just want to make sure that y'all keep praying for Gary, okay? It's just important that you understand how critical that is, that we pray for one another and care for one another. So I am going to address one brief thing, and then I'll share the story. So Roger asked me if I've been talking a lot about what's going on with the schools and the campuses and all the stuff and this anti-Israel Hamas thing. So it's really, for me, it's much more simple than most people might recognize. The Bible teaches very clearly in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Gentiles, now listen, this is not to be offensive to you, but I was born and raised Jewish, okay? So when it's talking about Gentiles, I'm not one of them. I am one of you because God has taken Gentile and Jew and made them one. So for those that do not understand how that works, Ephesians 2 says, he himself is our peace who has made both one, referring to Jew and Gentile, and broken down the middle wall of separation. That's important for you to understand. And then verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far off, that's Gentile, and those who were near, that's the Jew, that through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So why that's important is for you and I to understand that we are fellow citizens together as saints and as the members of God's household. And what you see right now taking place on the campuses is an anti-Israel, anti-Jew movement. And because Gentiles and Jews are in a commonwealth, we are common together, what you're seeing is a direct attack on God, an attack on the Jewish nation and the Jewish people, and by juxtaposition, an attack on Christians who believe and support Israel. That's what you're seeing. And people can spin it. You can say eschatologically it means this, that, or whatever. I don't have a problem with that because I think people are doing the best they can to figure it out. But here's what you absolutely have to know. This is evil. There's nothing else. It's evil. And if they were doing the exact same thing, but instead of against Jewish people, it was against black people, or if they were doing the exact same thing and it was against, trans people, you would hear the outrages of the ends of the earth. But because these are people that are connected to God, you do not hear it that way. You have people in full denial. Every person who is in denial is just deceived by the father of lies, period. So does that mean it's the end next week? I want the end to come, so I'm not one of those people that has a problem with that. But do I think it's good? None of it's good. And where our nation has gone in the last 10 years is not good. And if the Lord doesn't redeem it, there won't be a nation. Don't worry about it. Greece was the grandfather of America, didn't last 1,500 years. Rome, which is the father of America, didn't last 1,000 years. And the way America's going, if it doesn't change, it won't last 500 years. And you just have to look at it and go, that's the way it's going. And all that, here's what I say. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That's what I say, okay? All right. All right, so instead of sharing that story, we're going to break there because I did want to kind of just address that briefly. And we'll go from when we pick it back up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here we go. Let's see if you guys can get this one. I'm hopeful. According to the book of Revelation, how will unbelievers try to hide from God? Will they try to fly out into space? Will they try and hide underneath the waters? Or will they hide in caves and in the rocks on the mountains? Revelation chapter 6, verse 14 through 17 is your reference point. That's Revelation chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. Is your reference point, like I said, how will the unbelievers try to hide themselves from God? Will they try to go out into space? We have that capacity now. People can go out into space. Hide underneath the waters or the oceans? Or will they hide in caves and in the rocks on the mountains? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We are going to do history, but we're going to do a very brief one, so let's do that.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, there's a couple of really good ones. People might not like these, but I happen to like these. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. First of all, it's National Oatmeal Cookie Day, so I don't know how you can go wrong with that. I mean, how could that be
bad? Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Those are good.
That's a great one. Today is also National Raisin Day, and I did not know that when I asked the raisin question. Not a raisin fan, huh? Okay. I absolve you.
They're tolerable.
Oh,
I don't despise them.
Oh, that's good. That's very
If I absolutely have to, I will eat them, but I'm not a big fan.
Today is National Mr. Potato Head Day. That's a good day right there. And then finally, today is National Bugs Bunny Day, and I don't care what you say, I think that's funny. Okay?
Pesky wabbit.
Yeah. I'm hunting wabbits. Okay, that's that. All right, we're not going to be able to share the testimony that I was going to share today. I'm going to have to do that tomorrow because I need to do a little bit more on the teaching, so you're just going to have to tune in tomorrow. It is an unbelievable thing that I'm going to share, but now you're going to have to wait because it's just the way the show went, and we just kind of do our best to go with the flow. According to Revelation, how will unbelievers try to hide from God? Will they go in space? Will they go under the seas? Will they hide in caves and in rocks on the mountains? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Romans chapter 4, picking it right back up where we were at. It says, when people work, verse 4, then wages are not a gift. Workers earn what they receive. But people are declared righteous because of their faith, not because of their work. King David spoke of this, describing the happiness of an undeserving sinner who was declared to be righteous. Let's just pick it apart the way that we need to. It's incredible because Abraham believes God, right? He didn't just believe in God, he believed God. And I want you to make sure that you understand that difference. Demons believe in God. That's what James tells us. The demons believe in God. It's not that they don't believe in God, but they don't believe God. And that's a big difference. Abraham's faith was active. The second element that we need to understand is God declares Abraham righteous. It wasn't because Abraham deserved it. We talked about that. It's that God was pleased with Abraham's faith. And he allowed that faith to be used as a form of righteousness, and he attributed that to Abraham. As further proof to this, we see verse 4. People work, then wages are not a gift. In other words, you go to work, you punch a clock, you earn a check. Okay, got it. Workers earn what they will receive. Got it. Verse 5, but people are declared righteous because of their faith. So here, verse 4, it states that when people work, their wages are not a gift. It simply means that they deserved it. They earned it. Ultimately, workers earn what they receive. But this is not how the declaration of righteousness works with God. The declaration of righteousness is granted as a gift. And in my own folly in my years past, I'd say, hey, it's your birthday. You get a present. You don't deserve it. It's like, I was wrong. If you make it to another birthday, you kind of do deserve it. That's like surviving another year. With the gift that God's talking about is somebody you don't know has come up out of nowhere and given you a gift and said, there you go. And that's the one you could never possibly deserve. They just gave you a gift. That's the gift that God is giving. Not because you made it another year, but no connection to anything whatsoever, and then just they drop a gift on your lap. Like, what? So in verse 5, it's reiterating the truth when it states simply this: people are declared righteous because of their faith, not because of their works. So verse 5 is reiterating the truth by stating that people are declared righteous because of their faith, not their works. This is a declaration of the righteousness that God grants a person when they operate in faith. Again, and it's even says it, right? It's not because a person deserves it. I cannot stress enough, and it's not possible to, for all of us to understand that there is nothing. I know, I'm entitled to this. I deserve this. You sinned once. You deserve to be obliterated into the mega universe so that you're never heard from again. That's what you deserve. Anything else you get past that that's nice is grace, is mercy, is generosity from God. Well, I'm entitled to this. You're not entitled to anything. Well, these are my rights. You have no rights. You forfeited them the moment you sinned. It's like, well, Dave, that's not what the Constitution says. I don't care. I care what God said. The Constitution is not the Bible. And you can get as mad at me as you want. God wrote the Bible. God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Do I love the Constitution? Sure. It's awesome. Great document. Definitely inspired. Totally cool. Not the Bible. Do you understand? You get mad at me. All men are created equal. No, actually, some are born 6 pounds, some are born 7 pounds, some are born rich, some are born poor. That's not even true. You can get mad at me all you want. That's the fact. Okay? You can get it. It doesn't matter to me. So here it goes. God is pleased with how a person responds to him. This was the problem that Cain had. Because Cain didn't respond the right way to God's admonition, sin overtook him, polluting his mind and justifying the killing of his brother. It's sin. Like, yikes. God has chosen that way that we respond to him as the vehicle by which he pours upon us his declaration of righteousness, which is unearned. This is why faith is so important. It's not just because I wrote a book that has to do with faith. You guys know better than that. This has to do with how God has chosen for us to engage with God. What does it say in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him. Not often do you have the word God and impossible in the same text. And in this text, it's like, you don't understand. You will never please God unless your faith is active, period. So for all those Christians that are thinking, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, here's a great one to start with. Believe God. When you read his word, believe what he has to say. Believe he is who he says he is. That will please him. You get that? That's just some ferocious teaching. And Jacob has held up the ping pong ball just to remind me. According to Revelation, how will unbelievers try to hide from God? Will they fly off into space? Will they hide under the seas? Not enough submarines. Or will they go in caves and in the rocks on the mountains? Bingo! They will hide in caves and in rocks on the mountains. Revelation chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. Tomorrow, I will discuss the phenomenal testimony that I didn't get to discuss today. In the meantime, thank you. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.